It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of John, the Gospel of John. We're going to begin reading in the 20th chapter, John chapter 20. We're going to begin with the 24th verse, John chapter 20, verse 24, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, verse 31. And so please that you open your Bibles to John chapter 20, verse 24. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to share with you what our mailing address is. It's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to visit our website, you can find that at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Glad that you've joined us today. Now let's begin the study by reading John chapter 20, beginning to read with verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through his name. Let's begin with prayer after we've read his precious word. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. I just praise you for it in this busy world. We must take time to spend with you. And Father, I thank and praise you for the opportunity that I have in studying your word and in sharing your word. Now please that you touch each one of our hearts as we spend this time together today, as we continue to look and we look at this man named Thomas. Please, Lord, help us to not be faithless as the scripture tells us. Please, Lord, show us your way and will today, and we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory for every bit of life and strength that we have. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, it's great to have you today. And as we look back, we have a couple of things that I want to just touch just a little bit, and then we'll get started with the 24th verse. If you've been around me very long, you'll find very quickly, know very quickly, that I am quite a stickler for review. I believe if you have not learned something in the past, then it's best that we not move on forwards. And a couple times ago that we were together, why we talked about the seventh day of the week, and we had that down the 19th verse. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. We spent just a few minutes there, or quite a little bit of time actually, that week, and I would like to just remind you just a little bit. The seventh day of the week, the Sabbath, the Saturday, that is, the Sabbath is Saturday, honors the memory of God's finished work of creation. I think that puts it so clearly for us to understand. The seventh day of the week honors the memory of God's finished work of creation. The first day of the week, the Lord's Day, Sunday, honors the memory of Christ's finished work of redemption, his resurrection. And so when we look at those, we need to enjoy them and not miss our opportunity to come together on the first day of the week. Do not be confused by the law of believing you have to worship or should worship on Saturday. If you want to praise the Lord and worship on Saturday, that's just fine. The reason that we do on Sunday is because it is an exciting time, a time to remember what the Lord Jesus has really done for us, and He had finished the work of redemption on that day. We find that the early church in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, comes together on the first day of the week on Sunday. And then we also realize and should recognize that the Sabbath, Saturday, is connected with the law. And the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, we find grace and peace. Now, as we went through these many times concerning the first day of the week and how that it stands for the finished work of redemption, and the Sabbath, Saturday, the seventh day of the week, how it stands for the law and the finished work of creation. And I know when I went through those several times and listened once again to that time, I got those turned around a couple of times. I want you to see very clearly what I meant, and I believe what the Word of God tells us. And so I want to just spend a few minutes to go back through that. And that was a couple of programs ago. Hope that you was able to listen and enjoy that study that time. You know, we continue now getting closer to the 24th verse, and it tells us, "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." If you missed the last time we were together, I too, once again, want to take just a few minutes for you to see that, and we're not going to take the whole time and look at everything, but it is so important that we look at what that means. And very simply, very clearly, the disciples did not provide forgiveness. They proclaimed forgiveness on the basis of the message of the gospel. That's what they did. What is it that forgives sins? Only can sins be forgiven through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. How can we remit sin? By telling people the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. How will their sins be remitted? By being born again. And that's what that is talking about in verse 23. And I didn't want you to be questioning that or confused by that. It's very simple. It's very clear. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, if you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, you have the opportunity, what a wonderful opportunity, in giving the greatest gift anyone can give. And that is the opportunity to have your sins forgiven, the burden lifted, and an eternal home with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father in heaven for eternity. What a wonderful gift that you can give. Now, I ask that you please be giving that. But here it says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Again, the disciples did not provide forgiveness. They proclaimed forgiveness on the basis of the message of the gospel. I want to make that very, very clear to you so that you understand the need for us to give out the gospel, and that it wasn't some special gift or power that was given to these disciples by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the very same that you have if you will take time to come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved, and then begin to give out that wonderful, wonderful news, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the gospel. Now on to verse 24. Now we have looked at this wonderful time. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, let's look back, and I purposely skipped over verse 20. I want you to see, and when he had so said, first, peace be with you, in the end of verse 19. Now verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. But we were missing one. We were missing Thomas. You know, what is your excuse for not making it to Bible study? You know, to Sunday school on Sunday morning? Are you one that barely makes it to church and most of the time not on time? Is that how important it is to you for you to be in the house of God, hear the Word of God, sing praises to God, fellowship with other born-again believers? Is that the way that you treat that? Well, it seems as though that Thomas kind of found the same thing. He'd spent 3 years with these people, with these other disciples, and yet he did not see the need to stay with them, to be with them. And I want you to see what Thomas missed. And I hope that this kind of wakes you up just a little bit, that you kind of stop finding, and maybe you don't even make excuses. It just doesn't quite come together. You just don't quite make it to Sunday school. You just don't quite make it to Sunday night and to Wednesday night. You don't see the need to be there. It's not, you know, clearly spelled out in the Word of God that we must come together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And who said we had to have Sunday school? Most churches go into their summer schedule, and their summer schedule eliminates Sunday school. And of course, most places don't have any other Bible studies through the week. You know, you'll find it strange maybe here, because we have our best numbers through the summertime. We have Sunday school, we have Sunday night, we have Wednesday night, and we love studying the Word of God, and people come to hear it. And especially folks that are unable to drive maybe at night, they come through the summer because it stays daylight long enough for them to come, and it's safe for them to come. I would never dream in not having Bible study through the summertime. If anything, it's all the more important that we have it with all the things that are going on to pull us away, whether it be from our eyes or just fishing and hunting and golf and all the things that take you away from studying the Word of God in the house of God. You've got to come. Be here. Be in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. And don't miss an opportunity to do so. Thomas didn't see a need to be there. What do you think Thomas's excuse could have been or might have been? And again, the disciples earlier on Sunday morning, when the Lord Jesus was present with them, and he showed them his hands and his side, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. That's verse 20. Wonderful verse of Scripture. Then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Oh, to not only see the Lord Jesus, and for him to unfold his hands and to show his side, and yet speak to them with these wonderful words. It is so wonderful and so great to know the risen Lord and to walk with the risen Lord. Please that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and you walk with him each day and you don't make an excuse. What was Thomas's reason? What was his excuse? We are not told. He just was not there. Doesn't it seem strange that just one was missing? Well, Thomas was one of those that was missing. What is Thomas's excuse? Was he sick? Was he scared? Because we know each time they came together, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, we are told in verse 19. We have the same as it comes on down into the next section of Scripture here, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. And then after 8 days again, verse 26, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. It seems as though that the fear was still upon them. The fear was still present. And so now we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to him for our power, for our strength. Thomas missed the opportunity to see the risen Lord. to visit with him. And he makes it very clear here. Again, what's the excuse? What reason do you use? Are you seems like that you can do everything all week long. Make it to work. Get all the work done around the house. But it comes to Sunday morning. That's the morning that you sleep in. What do you do on Saturday night? You know, when I very seldom, very, very seldom do anything on Saturday night. And the reason I don't do anything Saturday night is because there's one day I want to be ready. I want to be awake, and I want to be prepared, and that's on Sunday morning. And I don't want to be half asleep. I don't. You're never going to find me to take a drink or anything like that, so you don't have to worry about that. Don't even consider yourself consider that. But what even sleep, even to go to someone's house and to visit, do it on Friday night. Do it another night of the week. And he says, well, I can't do that. I got to go to work. Well, wait a minute here. We need you in the house of God. We need you searching the Word of God. We need you growing in the Lord Jesus Christ if you're saved. And that'll come if you come alert, come ready, and come prepared to hear from God, to hear His Word. Well, we find here that it was Thomas just out too late the night before and didn't make it? What was his excuse? We don't know. It wasn't important to him to be in the fellowship with other believers. It wasn't important during this time. You'd think during this time that the Lord Jesus Christ, that rumors were about that he was risen, and yet Thomas had not seen him. And what a time, what an opportunity. We better stay together because, oh, I don't want to miss learning any new news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Thomas wasn't that concerned about it. What did Thomas miss? What did Thomas miss? I want you to see this, because when you don't come on Sunday morning, you don't come on to Sunday school, you choose not to come back on Sunday night because it just, oh, I'm just too tired, got to get ready for Monday morning, got to be ready for work, and yes, you do. You need to be ready, but I'll tell you what, that Bible study on Wednesday night and Sunday night is not going to be a problem. And that getting up early on Sunday morning, I get up the same time on Sunday morning, I get up all the rest of the week. When I get up and go to work and put in a full day's work, I do the same thing on Sunday morning. It doesn't hurt me a bit. I'm up. I'm ready. I want to study the Word of God. I spend a couple hours with the Lord Jesus in His Word, studying and preparing my heart before church ever starts. I do that every Sunday morning. I prepare then. Then we have Sunday school. I teach Sunday school. We enjoy that. We enjoy a love, beautiful song service as we sing the great old hymns, and then we begin as we come together to hear the Word of God during the message. I preach the message, and then I come back on Sunday afternoon and enjoy a time, about an hour and a half or 2 hours with the Lord on Sunday afternoon. Then we're back at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, and we teach the Word of God. Again, we sing some beautiful old hymns, prepare our hearts, and then we begin the study. We have one full hour of study, and it's just a joy to do that. And then I need to be prepared again for Wednesday night. And so each time, every week, and then somewhere in the middle of that, we need a radio program, don't we? We spend a lot of time enjoying the Word of God, and I have work that I do every week, every day, just like you do. I love the power of God. I love the Word of God. I love proclaiming it. I love reading it. I love letting it touch my heart. What did Thomas miss? He missed receiving a blessing. What do you miss when you don't come? You miss a blessing. Any time that the Word of God is proclaimed and you miss an opportunity to enjoy that, to be in fellowship with other believers, to pore over the Word of God, to search the Word of God out, to hear from the Lord as the Holy Spirit speaks to you as you're studying the Word, all this you miss when you're not here. And you can say, well, Larry, there's many times that I'm sick, and you know, I have to do this and I have to do that. You make up your own reasons, your own excuses. That's up to you. But I'm telling you, Thomas missed it. And I'm also going to tell you that you're missing it. Don't make excuses. Just be there and enjoy that time. Thomas missed it. when they saw Thomas, let's see what they had to say. Once again, verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, Must not have been too far away. We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." I want you to see that. I will not believe. What kind of a testimony did the other 10 give Thomas? Was it a strong testimony? "We have seen the Lord Jesus. He has held his hands out. We have seen his side." Wonderful to see the resurrected, living, glorified Christ. What a wonderful opportunity. And they were so excited. What did the scripture say? When they saw the Lord Jesus, then the disciples were glad, were rejoicing, were excited. And they brought that same excitement to Thomas. "Thomas, we have seen the Lord." You know, when they saw Thomas and told him, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen his hands. We have seen his side." "Thomas, you missed it." Is that what they said? I hope not. I don't think so. Be careful, you know, when someone doesn't come to church. Ask them, yes, plead with them that they come, because they are missing a blessing. But do not condemn them for coming, for not coming. And it's difficult to do because we desire so much that they come. We desire so much that they grow in the Lord Jesus. It's hard for us not to criticize them because they're not there. And it's easy for me to do the same thing. I try very to be very careful that I invite them and I tell them, "Yes, we missed you." But I try not to criticize. But sometimes you do, because it's so easy to do. It's kind of natural to do that. But it's not because we are prideful that we're there. It's because we want the folks here to hear the Word of God. We care for them. We desire that they hear the Word of God. We desire that they come to know the Lord Jesus. Maybe they're not even saved and they're coming. We want them to come and hear the Word of God for salvation. Then we want them to come and we want them to hear the Word of God that they may grow and begin to have the power of God and witness and share the gospel with others. Again, I don't really know how they responded here. I do not believe that they responded in a negative way to Thomas. I think they just were so excited. They wanted to share. But the other disciples therefore said, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, you know, always build up. Always try to comfort, even when someone seems not to care to be under the Word of God, not to be here to grow. And, you know, it seems like, oh, I've spent all my life babysitting these people. They're still on the milk. They have no desire for the meat. What am I going to do? Oh, just keep praying that you have the strength and the patience to help them to grow. That's what you need to do. And be careful not to criticize. And again, it's something that comes very natural. And so just try to be in prayer that doesn't come. We should always comfort, always build up, not tear down. To share with others that we may build them up to grow. Oh, we find out now. Is Thomas like you? Were you like Thomas? Let's look at verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." Come with joy and with excitement. But he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Doubting. Even the reports that he had heard earlier, you'd thought he would desire the Jews as they come, and they were fearful of the Jews, and so you would have thought they would have drawn closer together, not to be separated from each other, awaiting something, awaiting some news, awaiting some report. Remember, often the Lord Jesus taught that I will be in the grave 3 days and I will rise again. And they didn't believe. They did not believe. Now we find the disciples, the ten. Of course, Judas is gone, so there's only a total of 11. But we have Thomas here missing, so we're down to 10. Those 10, when they saw the Lord Jesus, and he did not say, "Now, do you believe?" He didn't. He come caringly and lovingly, and he showed them his hands. He showed them his side, and he was very, very careful. Again, okay, now believe. Now walk ever so close with me. Please come to know me as your Savior. And these disciples did. They were saved. So now come and grow. Come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. They're beginning a work here. And that's what should happen to each and every believer in Jesus Christ. A work should begin. We shouldn't waste our life being just a warmer of a pew someplace. We should be busy and enjoying the walk and the time with the Lord Jesus. Is Thomas like you, still doubting? Even though many had said, many folks that you know, we have seen the Lord. You know, I've shared the gospel with many folks, folks that I've known for a lot of years. And you know, when I tell them, you know, I received the gospel. The Word of God was presented to me, and it was told to me by the Word. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, many of those words I had said through the years, except the part where it told me that I was a sinner and I was lost and I needed a Savior being Jesus. That wasn't made clear to me. I never understood that. But the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, as I read those scripture verses as they were presented to me and I read them myself, listened to them, I heard them through my ears, I read them with my eyes, and I listened carefully, unknown to me, I didn't understand, but the Holy Spirit was convicting my heart, was speaking to me, and I kept reading, and it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whosoever shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved." All those words came to me. And one day, finally, I surrendered to the will of God. And I became a believer, a Christian. That was in 1975. Spent many years in church, many years working in church prior to that time, teaching Sunday school before I ever knew the God that wrote this precious word that I have before me. I never knew him. Now I do. I've come by faith to Jesus. And I tell people, I tell you, I've been born again. I know it in my heart. I have met the Lord Jesus. But do you believe? These disciples with the Lord Jesus Christ here, as Jesus presented himself to the ten, they saw, they were glad, they were excited, they began to share this word with others, and the very first one they found is Thomas. Again, he must not have been too far away, and they shared with Thomas, "Oh, Thomas, Thomas, we have met the Lord Jesus, we have seen him, he's alive. We have seen his hands, we have seen his side." But did Thomas believe according to their testimony? Did Thomas remember the words of the Lord that came to him prior to this that remind him that in 3 days he was going to come out of that grave? Did he remember those words and then come to Jesus and begin to stop doubting, this word doubting Thomas? You know, it wasn't that he just missed the first time. Look what he missed. He missed an opportunity to see the glorified Lord. He missed that opportunity. But you see, he not only missed that, but then when the disciples come to him again and met him shortly, he said, unless I see, I have got to see that. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. I have to see, and not just see, but I'm going to touch it. I'm going to touch his hands. I'm going to thrust my fingers in that hole because I don't believe. I'm going to thrust my fist into his side. That's what I'm going to do, and I must do in order for me to believe. Now, what's it going to take for you We're going to continue this next time we come together, and I want you to see this. I want you to see that 8 days later, actually it happens once again on Sunday, they're together, and we come and they enjoy a time. My dear friend, please come to Jesus. What are you going to do about Jesus?